वैकुंठ गिरि गोवर्धन की
जय।
वृंदावन धाम की
जय।
जयपुर धाम की
जय।
जगन्नाथ स्वामी की
जय।
यमुना माई की
जय।
गंगा माई की
जय।
तुलसी देवी की
जय।
भक्ति देवी की
जय।
समवेद भक्त वृंद की
जय।
गौर प्रेमानंद
की हरि बोल।
हरि बोल। All glories to the assembled
devotees.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare
Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Having a series of readings from Rupa Goswami's drama, Sri Vidagdha Madhava. And we'll see how it goes, whether it's a good format. And then we'll continue to do so. But tonight I want to do something else. I wanted to read from the journal that I write and that I post on my website. Someone asked me, what am I doing nowadays? What is my preaching? My most important activity is to write this journal and to post it on the website or internet. Chaitanya Chandradwaya, what is the name of the website?
SDG Online.
SDGonline.org,
yeah.
Dot org. SDGonline.org. Thank you. So, if anyone would like to read this, every 2 days, a new episode is posted. And now I'm keeping it up also here in Vrindavan. Even in Vrindavan, every 2 days I post a website journal, and it's read by my readers around the world. And when I'm at home, I live in Delaware, United States. I write it there. So I'm going to read some selections that I kept in, that I made in Delaware. And you see, I was thinking of Vrindavan in Delaware. Rupa Goswami says that we should live in Vrindavan always. But if you cannot physically live there, then you should live there in your mind. So, these are about Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And they're about japa. In the last weeks, especially of keeping this journal, these are the two prominent things. In the morning, I would make a report on my early morning japa, how it went, what were the good things about it, and what was weak about it. And then in the afternoon I did a session I called free writing, where I wrote what came into my mind, and I addressed them as a journal to Krishna. I spoke to Krishna in the first person. I love you, I wish to be with you, I wish to make a prayer to you. And I mixed this first person address to the Lord with pastimes of the Lord. And particularly these Madhurya pastimes. So I'm reading some selections from these. And different scriptures are quoted. Srimati Radharani's condition of anxiety and separation from Sri Krishna is described in Krishna Karnamrita by Bilba Mangala Thakur. Quote, what shall I do now? To whom shall I speak? What is the purpose of holding on to the futile hope of receiving his darshan? Please speak about something better. a whole, but how can I possibly stop talking about He who is contained within my heart? His gentle, sweet smile is a festival for the mind and eyes. My longing to see His form, this form of Sri Krishna, increases moment by moment. Unquote. Sri Radha asks her sakis to abandon talk about ungrateful Krishna. But as she says this, Krishna manifests to her internal vision. Distressed, she cries, "Oh, what suffering! Krishna is lying in my heart and looking at me with his sidelong glance, which is imbued with a sweet, gentle smile. This glance, full of laughter, is a great festival for the eyes and minds of all gopis." Suddenly, this bhava disappears, and great distress and remorse are aroused in her heart. Again, she laments, saying, "Sakhi, what shall I do? You tell me to be patient, but how can I be patient? The hope of receiving Krishna's darshan resides in my mind, but it seems to be merely a vain hope that is fit to be abandoned." Understanding that her hope is extremely distressful, the prostitute Pingala abandoned it and became happy. "I should also give up the hope of attaining Krishna, but it's so difficult to stop talking about Him." That's Sri Bhajan Rahasya. The devotees of Srimati Radharani feel pain in hearing of her distress, but paradoxically they know that she is experiencing the greatest happiness of love of Krishna in separation. "I do not understand these mysteries, and perhaps I should not even inquire into them." But Sukadeva Goswami says, at the end of the Rasa dance, that the affairs of Krishna and the gopis are capable of banishing all lust from the heart. So I repeat them along with my own prayers and pray for clean motives. May the prayers of Lord Shiva, my own words, and the pastimes of Radha Krishna shine in my heart and release me from bondage. That was written on January 14th, just before I left on my travels. This is a January 11th pre-write. Sri Radha is so captivated by Sri Krishna's qualities that it is impossible for her to abandon the hope of meeting Him. Her condition is similar to that of a person who relishes the sweetness of hot sugar cane so much that he cannot give up chewing it, even if his mouth is burning. Moreover, she says, "Observing my helpless condition, Madana, Cupid, torments me with his five arrows, thus exhausting my entire body." In reality, Sri Radha is the eternal beloved of Sri Krishna. She is not an ordinary woman who has been offended by her lover. By her power, Yogamaya has manifested these pastimes on the surface of the earth for the purpose of accomplishing Krishna's Naralila. May I go on hearing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and speaking to Him in my own words, without any attention to the mundane. May Krishna give me the privilege to speak His glories. May there be no end of it until I die. January 12th. I still want to speak to Krishna with my words. My eyes are heavy and I've just eaten lunch, but I try to make prayer action. When I hear of my godbrothers, I don't want to become envious. I wish to attribute good motives to their activities and think well of them, even from a distance. I wrote this as the back cover to my book, Visitors. Quote, "Visitors are welcome to my door. They enlighten my space. They make my dinner table more tasty. They make my dinner table talk more tasty. But on the other hand, I don't look forward to visitors. They crash my party of solitude. They break my holy silence. They come one after another. Some of them almost seem like spies from the, quote, outer world, unquote. So it's a dilemma. You don't want to live without them, but it's a burden living with them. You almost want to put a sign up outdoors, no visitors. But even Thoreau, in his stay at Walden, left an extra chair at his front door for visitors. This book explores the pains and pleasure of being with others. That was written 4 years ago, and I have the same attitude today. I am not lonely, but mostly alone. And And now I have established the habit of speaking to Lord Krishna in a journal. I praise you and ask you to come closer to me. I don't know exactly how you received my words. I live with that uncertainty, but go on speaking to you, hoping you accept me. Srila Prabhupada wrote of Krishna's babyhood and boyhood in Srimad Bhagavatam and stopped short of his adolescence. But in Krishna book, he gave everything. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gave all the ecstatic symptoms of Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani in separation from Sri Krishna. He has flooded us with nectar, and he has given us all the instructions, tattva, of the Absolute Truth. There is more than enough to read our whole lives through and stay immersed in Krishna Katha. Now I'm reading from a report on japa done in 4 in the morning after I chanted 8 rounds. Today, after the first round, I averaged about 6 minutes per round. That's moving as fast as I can without blurring or mispronouncing, not hearing. Quality is still more important than speed. I'm grateful that I'm not thinking of other aspects of my life while I should be chanting. Fortunately, other thoughts are not coming, and I streamline my consciousness to that of a japa chanter. If other thoughts do come, I gently put them aside and return to my business. Krishna has been kind to let me perform like a single-minded athlete. Today I was able to do that. The biggest defect today is the abiding fact that my chanting is not deep. I say the names, but I don't feel them. I chant at the surface. So I was moving along like a railroad train without a heart. The high point in the day was that I was chanting so quickly. The overall impression was that the chanting was short of the Shuddha Shatva stage. Now here's more talking to Krishna. Talking to Krishna is a form of self-realization. I declare my relationship with the Lord. I call on you and ask for service. You see how sincere I am and reward me accordingly. You award me the ability to speak. You let me speak to you. And you like it. Although you are the Supreme Person and I am a tiny spirit soul, you are kind to me. I address you with respect and love. I hope my words will merge with you. I want you to notice me. I am standing, I am bowing among your innumerable servitors. Do you accept my obeisances? I think you recognize me, because I am a disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is so dear to you. I count on that connection. Therefore, I should be so attentive to the words of my spiritual master. Without His blessings, you would not recognize me. With His grace, I can speak to you directly. Please let me be aware of you in my life. Please remind me of your qualities and pastimes. Still talking to Krishna, and I switch my attention. In Braja, when you come home in the afternoon, your body is very beautiful, covered by the dust of the cow's hooves. Radharani is delighted that you have come home. At her house, she prepares various sweets for your evening meal. She puts them in a new clay pot and covers it with a white cloth. She hands the pot to her sakis, who carry it to your house at Nanda Bhavan. There you have bathed and have milked the cows and have sat down for your evening meal. Srimati Radharani meditates on what sweets you will like and which you may not like. In this way, she has inner darshan of your eating at Nanda Bhavan. Mother Yasoda affectionately serves you and Balaram and the cowherd boys. Dhanishtha cleverly takes your remnants and hands them to Asaki. She also finds out information on where you will meet Radharani later at night. The Sakis then return to Radharani and give her the remnants of your meal. They also enjoy some of the remnants. These are some of your sweet, endless pastimes. I wish to always hear and repeat them. The scriptures state that hearing and discussing these pastimes purifies the world. Hearing about you is pious activity, and the Lord in the heart cleanses the soul of sinful activities and reactions just by hearing. Or pastimes. In her mood of intense separation from Krishna, Srimati Radharani projects her feelings onto the other living beings in Braja. She envies the bamboo flute and feels that its parents, the rivers and ponds, must be very proud to have such an offspring. She sees the doves rushing to Krishna so closely that he can touch them, and she considers birth as a dove to be more fortunate than birth as a gopi. She considers Govardhan to be the best servant of Lord Hari because he supplies Krishna with everything he needs. Krishna climbs in the body of Govardhan and enjoys its mineral colors, its waters, its caves for confidential pastimes. Govardhan also supplies fresh plants and grass for Krishna's cows. And finally, there's a Japa report. 4 a.m., January 5. Compared to yesterday, I was awake during the whole process. I did not get drowsy. The rounds did not vary much in length, except for the first long one. On average, I chanted each round in under 7 minutes. My mind was occupied with the sound bites, the mantras themselves. I felt no particular higher taste except for the simple satisfaction as the rounds gathered in numbers. I was like a person watching a snowfall who was pleased to see the inches piling up. I did think of some particular shelter or theme. I thought of Krishna in the back of my mind and how he engages in pastimes with the ladies of Braja. As for reciprocation, I don't feel I'm chanting in a void or that nothing is happening between Krishna and me. I feel the mantras themselves are valid and that the name of Krishna is as good as Krishna. I crept along in sound, the quote, transcendental sound vibration, unquote, that Prabhupada advertised in the little sign he put in the window at 26th Second Avenue, which attracted me in 1966. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is for meditating on Yugala Kishore, the divine couple. When you say Hare, you are calling on Radharani. And when you say Krishna, you're calling on Krishna. The realized chanter is meditating on their pastimes. I'm not able to do that, but I'm at least aware that this is the goal. And sometimes I remember it. I was lucky I did not crash. Krishna let me chant the whole way through. I thank him and I thank Nam Prabhu for this. The holy names are merciful. They reciprocate on whatever level you are at. I have a letter I'd like to read that a disciple of mine sent me. His name is Dattatreya. And it's kind of humorous, but it's also a serious letter about his spiritual life, and I wanted to share it with you. I thought I might share with you some thoughts on where I am at in Krishna consciousness. Now, it might be said that I have certain issues with Krishna himself. I think of a scene from a movie that came out in 1969 called Midnight Cowboy. In that movie, Dustin Hoffman plays a cripple named Roxo Rizzo, who is an impoverished hustler who lives on the streets of New York. During the filming of one scene of the movie, a scene that was shot on location in Midtown Manhattan, Roxo is crossing a busy street in the middle of the day. As he hobbles his way across the crosswalk, a taxi cab that was waiting for the light to change moves forward a couple of feet just where Roxo was walking. This event was not in the script. It was just something that happened spontaneously during the filming of the scene. As soon as the taxi moves forward just where Roxo was walking, Roxo turns toward the cab and slaps his hand down real hard a couple of times on the hood of the taxi. With a thick Bronx accent, Roxo shouts to the cabbie, hey, I'm walking here, I'm walking here. So that's a little bit like my relationship with Krishna. As I move along my path in this world, I'm like Ratso Ritso crossing a Manhattan street. When things get a little out of hand, I swing around, slap my hand down on the hood of the metaphysical car that is my world and shout out, hey Krishna, I'm just a jiva here. I'm just a jiva here. I suppose that as bhaktas go, I'm kind of like a feisty little crippled street hustler with an ontological chip on my shoulder. Now I have come to understand that I am only aware of the reality of Radha and Krishna by virtue of Radharani's mercy, and that she is the ultimate controller of my destiny as a devotee. I have come to see that my love for Krishna will blossom only by her mercy. I have come to understand that it is she alone who controls the process of self-realization. Because for one thing, self-realization means becoming conscious of one's nature as Ananda Maya, and Radharani is Krishna's pleasure potency. And because she is the controller of all pleasure exchanges with Krishna, she is the controller of all devotional service understanding. Understanding devotional service to mean anything that brings Krishna pleasure. So I am depending on the mercy of Radharani's lotus feet to get me off the streets of the Mahatattva and back to Godhead. Not so late. Maybe we can start a little. I'll read from the introduction. This is a translation by Pusha Pradadas. The editing is by Purnapragna. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is nicely described how Srila Rupa Goswami came to write Lalita Madhava and Vidagya Madhava. After being instructed by Lord Chaitanya at Prayag, Srila Rupa Goswami had gone to Vrindavan. And later on, as he journeyed to Bengal along with his brother Anupam, began to compose a drama about Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Anupam died in Bengal, and so Srila Rupa Goswami could not accompany the devotees to Jagannath Puri. After the delay due to the death of his brother, as Srila Rupa Goswami traveled to see Lord Chaitanya, he came to a village known as Satyabhamapur in the Chittuk Cuttack district of Orissa. While resting in Satyabhamapur, he dreamed that a celestially beautiful woman came before him and very mercifully gave him the following order. Write a separate drama about me, she said. By my mercy, it will be extraordinarily beautiful. After having that dream, Srila Rupa Goswami considered, it is the order of Satyabhama that I write a separate drama for her. I have brought together in one work all the pastimes performed by Lord Krishna in Vrindavan and in Dwarka. Now I shall have to divide them into two dramas. Absorbed in these thoughts, Srila Rupa Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, where he stayed with Haridas Thakur. After seeing the Upala Bhoga ceremony at the Jagannath temple, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly come to see Haridas every day. Thus it happened that just after Srila Rupa Goswami's arrival, the Lord came there. The next day, Lord Chaitanya introduced Srila Rupa Goswami to all the devotees. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, you should both show your mercy wholeheartedly to Rupa Goswami. May Rupa Goswami, by your mercy, become so powerful that he will be able to describe the transcendental mellows of devotional service. Thus Rupa Goswami became the object of love and affection for all the devotees of the Lord, including those who came from Bengal and those who resided in Orissa. One day thereafter, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Sri Rupa Goswami, The omniscient Lord spoke as follows. Do not try to take Krishna out of Vrindavan, for he does not go anywhere else at any time. The Krishna known as Yadukumar is Vasudev Krishna. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadukumar Krishna manifests his pastimes in the cities of Mathura and Dwarka, but Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, never at any time leaves Vrindavan. After saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to perform his noontime duties, leaving Srila Rupa Goswami somewhat surprised. Satyabhama ordered me to write two different dramas, Srila Rupa Goswami thought. Now I understand that this order has been confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,